Here. As you're being seated, I need 4, 5, 6 volunteers. Boy, watch the hands go up. Put your hand down, Preston. You just got through singing. I need 4 or 5 singers. Where's my singer? Come on, Tam. Come on, help me. Sam, come back up here. Cindy, come back up here. Who else wants to come sing? Well, who wants to sing? Somebody come up here and help me and Tam sing. Come up here and help. Robert, come up here. It's going to be an all-men's choir. What? Stay, get up here. Come on, Brother John. We're going to make you women look bad in a minute. Or really good. Get you a book. Get you a book, the black book. I don't know the number of the song, but turn to the song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. As I was studying this message out, and God started working in my heart, we're going to go down memory lane today, tonight. We're going to have some reflections. I mean, the Lord's words, they spoke volumes. The Bible said in the book of John that I suppose that if the books had been written, that what would happen, Brother Larry? The earth couldn't even contain them all. Can you imagine, Brother Tim, everything that he did, had it been recorded? We just got a few of the miracles. We've got some of the paths that he took from here to there, the triumphant entry from Bethany down to Jerusalem. And we see some of the things that were going on, and we have recorded works of those things as they were recorded by the Synoptic Gospel. They just come in fitly framed together. But, Brother Chris, can you imagine, had they all been written down? I mean, the Bible said that I suppose the books, the world couldn't even contain them. So I want you to think, because this song is kind of a, I guess the thing that spawned this service tonight, or it sparked the interest in my heart and mind, and then the Lord just fulfilled it, and he's going to give us a message tonight to remember his words. That will be the title tonight, just remember his words. When you remember something, what is it? It's to recall to remembrance. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Or reflect back, to cause to remember, to cause to think about once again. And every one of us has got reason to pause and remember the works of Christ and the words of Christ. Boy, there's a lot that he said, but much more than what he said, what he did when he went to the cross. We'll get into some of that, because I'll read one verse of Scripture. He did say that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, must be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, that's something to be said. That, man, that's beautiful to say that. That's wonderful. But to do it, that's a whole nother thing. Well, I'm look with Brother John. Go ahead, Miss Macy. You've got the Calvary Quintet up here. Y'all better pray hard. That wasn't so bad, was it? It'd probably been better if we had 4-part harmony, maybe had a little soprano alto. Why y'all laugh? Sam, you're mad now you didn't get in. You're mad now you didn't get involved. We can do another one. In the book of Luke tonight, chapter number 24, if you'll turn there and you got your Bibles, and we'll turn to the 24th chapter of Luke. Praise the Lord for what he's done recently in touching hearts and lives and letting Brother Tim come back and worship with us. I mean, he blessed my heart Sunday sitting right there where he's at. He couldn't sit still. Next thing I know, he's over there praising the Lord a little bit. Just probably stood up over there just for a few minutes and just wanted to thank God for what he's done. I appreciate the Lord touching Brother Tim. Brother Woody, on the other hand, had a little bit of difficulty with his infusion. So you pray for Brother Woody. They're switching him over to a pill because that other stuff, he had an allergic reaction to it. Brother Archie's getting ready to start his treatment. Sister Waylene got to come home, so praise the Lord for that. And Brother Donnie's still recovering at home. 1,000 other prayer requests, and you know every one of them. Thank you again for just the prayers, the food, the calls, everything that you've done to comfort my family during the loss of my mom. Whenever I say my mom was a godly young, a godly lady, and I thank the Lord for her, don't think that mom was any more or any less cantankerous than half of y'all. I mean, that woman, Ryan will tell you, we went in down to the hospital about a month ago to see her. Ryan had already got there and got a tongue lashing. I mean, she had done wore him out. I'm telling the truth. And I walked in, and first she lit on me like stink on a skunk. And she said, I got to come into the hospital to get you boys to come see me. And I said, well, I do go to the hospitals a lot. I'll be honest with you. That's a good place to go if you want to get visited. And when I say my mom was a godly lady, she was godly because of Christ Jesus. But she was none different than any single one of us. That if you're not very careful, the circumstances of life will stain you. And it will cause you to have different feelings. And sometimes those things will stick out somewhere. But I'm glad that greater was he that was in her. He shined out because he's shining out more in her death than he did in her latter life. Because she couldn't go. My mom, if you don't know, never had a driver's license. She was always just depending upon somebody, one of my brothers or somebody, to take her and do the things that she needed to do. And very few people her age never driven a car or never did the things that a lot of y'all do and haven't enjoyed through your life. But nevertheless, she had a godly testimony that she took five boys to church, Brother Ryan, in that we all got saved by God's grace. And because of that, no doubt in my heart and mind, Miss Cindy was praying for a godly husband. And the Lord sent me into her life. Now we've got godly children, one of them that's playing a piano, and one of them that's singing somewhere in a church about every week. Macy's helping with the youth choir singing specials. And I mean, God's just blessed us. And you'd have to say, when you look at the Hall family and those that came through the line, you would have to say, amen, that God has blessed us. We had a goodly heritage. And I'm taking you down memory lane to take you into the scriptures on a place of memory. It would serve us all well to do what the songwriter said whenever the song we just got through singing. Roll back the curtain of memory. Just every now and again, would God just roll that thing back and show me where he brought me from. But Brother Tam, more than that, show me where I could have been. I mean, bless God, if we could just peel back the curtain, if I could drop that big screen for just a moment in time, Margaret, I'm talking about if it would come down for a mere 1 second, and I could show you how extreme the torments of hell, Brother John, would be, and if I could just portray that in just a vivid flash on the screen as to how sweet the heaven's going to be and how terrible the hell's going to be, there would not be one person tonight under the sound of this preached word of God tonight that would leave here and not be changed by it. There would be no way that you could look into hell for just that much of a time and not be changed. I don't believe we could look into the glories and the splendors of Almighty God and what he's got for us in heaven, Miss Joe, and not be changed by what we would see in that just a brief glimpse of heaven. The Bible said it hasn't even entered into our hearts, Brother John, the things that God's got prepared for us, except that it will be revealed through the scriptures. And what we've got in there, Brother Tim, that's enough to make a man, woo! It's enough to make a man shout. Let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. So good to have my other niece with me tonight. And her name is Stephanie. So if you're looking for somebody to say thank you for coming tonight, you will be saying thank you to Stephanie. And then also we've got Avery. Have you got the baby? She got the baby with her. I didn't see who all y'all brought in. I wasn't talking about you, Carrie. You're a baby, but you're Troy's baby. Hey, she calls Ryan Poppy. And once in a while, poor little things, I don't know if she's got bad eyes or what, but sometimes Avery will look at me and call me Poppy. So they said, well, you're going to have to be something along that line. So I'm Uncle Poppy because I'm her great uncle. So I'm Uncle Poppy. So if anybody wants to call me Uncle Poppy or anything, that'd be fine. Just Clayton, just Linda, don't call me Marky J. That Linda back there, she found out my middle initial was J, and she'd been calling me Marky J because she heard Cindy call me Marky J one time. Y'all good tonight? Folks, let's remember his words. Somebody said amen over there. Who was that? Amen. Amen. Avery, say amen. Wow. We need y'all in the service. You're louder than Chris. Verse number one. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how you spake, how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse number 8 will be our text verse tonight. He said, and they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now I want you to listen what happens in the next couple of verses. It would do us well to remember his words as being words of the Almighty, as being inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfected words of Christ. Because look what happens. And I don't find it to be much different now, Brother John, than it was in their day. I can get up here and I can preach. Brother Pope could come up and preach all week. Brother John, Brother Troy, Brother Larry, any of us could get up here. Brother Chris, Brother Kenny, and the list could go on. And we could preach, but so many times we don't hear that as the words of God. Even though Sunday, the message that I preached, it was probably one of the most scripture-laden messages that I preached. I did not put a lot of mark into that. It was all scripture. And if you get a copy of that, Brother Tam, for those that were not here that had previous engagements and things to go, maybe you were sick. Brother Clayton was sick. But if you weren't here, get a copy of it, not because it's me, but because God sent a message on the blood. A very little mark, but a whole lot of message in the scriptures that was brought out. And we would do well to remember his words. The Bible says in verse number 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now listen to verse number 11. The Bible said, and their words seemed to them as what? Just idle tales. And what next? They believed them not. Wow. The tomb's empty. The centurion had said, make it sure. Make that thing steadfast. There's nobody going to come down here and steal that body out of there and claim that he's resurrected. You make that thing fast. You make it sure. And they did. But there wasn't no grave going to hold him. But here he is. And it said, and their words seemed as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Brother Troy Behrens asked God to bless our scripture, and we're going to go right on through it and have a message tonight on remember his words. Amen. As you're being seated even now, do you realize that every single one of us has a different recollection of events? I could take you back to my days of the courtship between a young man of about 18 years old, 19 years old, and to the courtship with my dear wife, which soon would become my wife. And I might tell you that I remember her and her flirtatious ways and how that she... I've already got a laugh and I'm not even trying to be funny. What? That's what I'm... Are you already... You're plugged into the source, Brother John. And I can tell you that I remember the flirtatious ways of that young lady and how that she tried her best to make sure that her car was spotless and that she was dressed to the fine. And I mean, she looked good. And you get in close proximity of her, Brother John, and the odorous fragrance that she would wear, that was nothing more than the same thing I'd put maybe fox urine on my boots to get when I go into the woods to make the deer just know that I'm a human. I'm a fox and not a human. She had the attractant scent. It was the buck lure, you know, the doe and estrus and all that stuff. And I can tell you that, Brother John, and I can tell you that even passing by her, that man, it just took my breath. And I started to look again, and she just had her hair fixed, and she had took off her glasses and put in contact lenses, and she probably had her teeth whitened and her everything, Brother Tam. She did everything that was just right that caused me to look twice. Yeah. And then look again. Or I could tell you that it was my fast, beautiful car. And I could tell you that it was this and it was all these things, Brother. I could tell you all that. And y'all probably, knowing me, would probably be just a smidgen, maybe just a little bit suspect of the story. And then you could go to her and say, okay, Let's get your version of the... And she said, oh, he was crazy. I mean, he would flash his lights at me and wink at me and blow kisses at me. And I tried my best to ignore him, and he was honking the horn, and he didn't even have a car. He said, I didn't have a car, brother. When she started dating me, my older brother Robbie had a little old Isuzu pickup that backfired through the carburetor. And that thing, Brother John, she'd hear me coming, and I'd let off the gas, and that thing go pow! And it would get her attention, and then next thing you know, she probably thought I was shooting at her, Brother Tim. She's ducking and I better get with him or he's going to kill me. But isn't it funny how our memory does? And I could tell you, you could tell me stories. Ryan, I could listen to your story about how that Annette got on one knee and begged you to marry her. And then I could hear Sister Annette's story and find out that Daniel wanted to kill you. And probably would have if he could have got away with it or if there was not a law against it. And every one of us has got a story. But when it comes to grace... And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to you getting saved by God's marvelous and miraculous grace, Brother Tim, there's only one way to tell it. And that was this. I was a sinner. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was worthless. I was good for nothing. I had broken everything that he had said. And it would do me well to remember his words. Because, Brother John, his words were words of condemnation unto me, a sinner. They condemned me in my tracks. I was no good. I was a sinner. I was rotten. Everything that I ever thought was good, it was not good. If I thought that it was beneficial, I find out that it wasn't later on. Everything that I put my hand to, that I might stake a claim on and say, this is who Mark is going to be. This is who Mark would become. This is who Mark will aspire to be one day. And Brother Larry, I find out, and looking back, there's only one way to tell that story. I was headed for a devil's hell. Right. Period. Right. Plus or minus, no, I was going to hell. And the only way I can tell that is that Mama took me to church, and bless God, she went to the altar that night, and Brother Tam, as they started singing, that old long-fingered preacher kept singing number 44, come unto me. And the next thing I know, I stepped out on faith, and bless God, nothing's been the same since. And that's the only way I can tell that story, Brother John. It was all God and none of me.
Amen, brother.
There's not really any ways to spin that, to tell that story differently. How would I spin that? How can I possibly make it anything about me or any good that I did? What could you do? And say, well, I went to... About time you get ready to tell it, Brother John, you start... Well, I went to... What are you going to claim it on? Your Bethel Baptist Institute? You're going to claim it to something? My God, you can't lay that claim on anything or anybody except Jesus.
Amen.
Well, here we are. He's been crucified. He's been laid in a tomb. And now all of a sudden he's gone. He's no longer there. The tomb is empty. They had come bearing, I guess, probably heavy weights of spices. I don't believe they just took a little pocket full, Brother Tim. One of the scripture tells that they had many talents. And Brother John, heavy weights of this. They were going to anoint the body. And he's not there. There's only one way to tell that story. Brother John, he's not there. What does that mean? He's gone. Brother John said, he might be dead, but he didn't stay dead. He might be gone, but he ain't going to stay gone for long. So when we look at this, there's a verse that jumps out at me, and it's that eighth verse that I want to put this message together tonight with the Lord's help. And I want you to think, I told Miss Cindy coming down the road, I said, as I studied this out, I said, honey, I do not have any alliteration. I have no points. I have nothing that rhymes. There's not five bullets. And then we sit down. Brother Tam, I said, there's nothing here. And she said, amen. And I said, well, okay, praise the Lord for that. I don't think she likes that stuff too yet. Nah, she loves the Word of God, no matter how the Lord presents it or delivers it. But whenever I started thinking about this message, they remembered his words. Folks, it would do us well tonight to remember his words. What words do they remember? It just told us the very verse before that, in verse number 7, it said that the words that he had spoken was this, that the Son of Man, we got to stop right there. Who was the Son of Man? That was the very begotten of God the Father that become the Son of Man. Why? Because the virgin conceived and she bore a child of the Holy Ghost. This man, bless God, he didn't have an earthly father. Joseph had assumed that role, and Joseph would raise him in a carpenter shop, but bless God, his His daddy was God, and he was the God-man. And it says here that the Son of Man, speaking of that which God had given to mankind, that mankind might be redeemed from the curse of the law, and that's namely hanging on that wall up there. And Brother John, the Bible says that they remembered his words, in that the Son of Man. We're stopping right there for a pause and effect. Brother Tim, that was Jesus. That was the one that had been prophesied about in Isaiah 7 and 14. That was the one that had been fulfilling the scriptures whenever Micah said that it would be in Bethlehem Ephrathah that he would be born. It told where he would be born, and it told of the lineage that he would come from. 16 generations from David unto Christ, and back to Boaz and Ruth. And there he is writing a storyline. There right in the middle of all, there's this man called Jesus, the Son of Man. Here he goes, and we keep reading that. And what was going to happen to the Son of Man? The Bible said that he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. What was that? That, again, was Scripture being fulfilled. That was the Psalm of the Cross, that he would be delivered and that he would be crucified. And it was Isaiah's prophecy, that he would be despised of men, that he would be beaten, the chastisement of the world, and everything was going to fall on him. The weight of the government would be upon him. It was every Scripture being fulfilled, and they remembered his words. That's what verse number 8 said. They remembered his words. We're going to be going over in a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So if you want to find your place there as we kind of weave this storyline going toward the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. In the grand scheme of things, and look, y'all are seeing a lot of empty pews tonight. Our ladies are traveling tonight, the Healing Hearts group. We got about 25 or 30 of them that's going up on the mountain. They went up to see a passion play or an Easter drama. And they had asked me months ago, and you know, they're in church tonight, and I'm not their nanny, or I'm their pastor, but I said, you're going to church. If you guys want to go do that, go do that. If the Lord will let you go and you want to go, go. And that's what they're doing tonight. So when you see a lot of empty holes tonight, don't think that we've got that much sickness, because we don't. They're all up on a trip going to see the Easter drama. I don't even remember the name of the church. It's somewhere up on top of the mountain. But this being the week of the Passion of the Christ, this being the culmination of events that all of humanity has hinged our salvation, our hopes and aspirations and dreams on, it culminates in this weekend, Brother John. And it tells us that in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15 in just a minute. We would do well to remember his words. Ryan, I've had to remember his words this week. The scriptures that tell us in Philippians 1:21 that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Man, I've had to remember that, Brother Tim. You know why? Because for me to live is Christ, and it's to preach his word and to be a testimony of the true, the one, the living God that lived the perfect life, the sin-free life. I'm talking about just lived apart from sin and then went to that cross and he was delivered and did deliver himself into the hands of wicked men that they would then crucify him. I've had to remember his words, Brother Tim. Because without the scriptures, I'm not sure I would have had any comfort. Because the Bible tells me that to be absent from this body is what? It's to be where? Present with the Lord. I have to hang on to that. Why? Because if not, whenever my mom went home to be with Jesus 1 week ago yesterday, Brother Tim, it would have consumed me. It would have eaten me alive, Brother John, that this lady that carried me for 9 months in her womb, and then we carried her from the church to the cemetery. Bless God. If that was all there was, the Bible said, and Paul declared it, and I remember his words. He said, if in this life only we have hope, Brother John, that we would be of all men most miserable. I had to remember those words, and those words are still true. They're there right in black and white and red in your pages of your King James Bible. You must remember his words. Amen. Not only the scripture that we're talking about and I'm preaching about tonight, but so many other passages of scripture. Mary Doris, I know you love the names of Christ. And you love the names of God whenever you start breaking it down to Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Shalom, my peace, and all those names, Jehovah Nassai. You love those names. Why? Because they mean something to you because you're a child of God. And you remember those words. And if I were to break them out, I'd say, he is my healer. How many of you have been touched by him? How many of you have overcome all kinds of sicknesses and all manners of diseases? And bless God, you should remember his words. Because if he's still in the grave, then you're talking to a dead Buddha. If he's still in the grave, you're talking to a corpse.
But bless God, there's no bones in his tomb. I'm telling you, there's no bones in his tomb. If they are, they're Joseph's. It was his tomb to start with. Amen. It was just borrowed. He borrowed Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, a just man, a devout man, used his tomb, but he said, you can have it back 3 days. I don't need it after that. Oh, she loves Uncle Poppy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tonight. Does Easter not have a grand significance in your lives? I'm surprised that being a part of the government and the big wheels that do turn within the government commerce, that we don't even get a day off at Easter. We don't get it. You don't either. We don't get Good Friday. We don't get Easter Monday. We don't get anything at Easter. That shows you what your government thinks of Easter. But unto you, which are born again believers in Jesus Christ, this should be the day. You said, I thought Christmas was the day. Oh, Christmas is special. Don't you dare get me wrong. I love the story of the Christ child. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, conceived of a virgin as the Holy Ghost of God moved on Mary. That's a beautiful story. What a strange way to save the world. You shall bear a child and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. That's a beautiful story. But bless God, Brother John, if he doesn't live sin free, he's a sinner like we are. If he doesn't go to that cross, if he doesn't take my shame, despise it all, take and bear my reproach and bear the reproach of men and hang there and suffer and bleed and be scourged and be crowned and have all of his bones out of joint and be pierced that they would look upon him who they pierced, that the scriptures, the prophecy might be fulfilled. If he didn't do all that, Brother John, we're still lost. But if he didn't get out of that grave, we're dead eternally. If he did not defeat both death and hell and overcome that grave, then Brother John, we're still there. We're right there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is a beautiful, I'm talking about a wonderful passage of scripture. And what did the Bible say? To remember his words. Look what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Bringing up the scripture in chapter number 15, verse number 12. The Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now that goes back to Brother Larry. What did I read whenever I'm going to bring my Bible with me. We're just going to come down here with you for a few minutes. I'm going back over to the book of Luke in chapter number, I can't see a lick. In chapter number 24 in verse number 11, the Bible said, this is back in the book of Luke, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. And then they believed them not. Now we're back over here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and it said this. The Bible said that if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? What is this? This is the Apostle Paul confronting some of them same people, Brother John, that did not believe in the resurrection. My friends, if he's still in the grave, we're still doomed and we're headed for a devil's hell. But the Bible said you can remember his words. But better than remember his words, the Bible said, Brother Tam, that they remembered his words. But then again, it also says that they didn't believe him. How sad that would be, that people would remember what the Holy Scriptures would say, but yet they would refuse those same scriptures, or that they would deny that they mean what they mean. There's such a heresy being preached right now, Brother Larry. It really doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that, preacher, whenever it says this or says that. It was just an allegory, or that's just the way. Bless God, the scripture said it. You better take it for what it says. But here it says that if there be no resurrection, I want you to hear this. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now it gets better, Brother Chris. If Christ is not risen, that word is our. And our preaching is in vain. And your faith is in vain. Yea, and we are found as false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he hath raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And you know what happens if we are yet in our sins? Brother Steve, we're headed for hell. The Bible says in verse number 8 to remember his words. So if you're going to remember his words, and they remembered his words, how far back would the words need to be, Brother Kim, in a man's remembrance to actually cause him to wonder, what was he talking about? It tells us in that verse right before that, the Son of Man, that he was saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words. I wonder if there were not some there, Miss Tammy, that would have said, I remember his words. I remember a story about a man that was called Nicodemus. That whenever Joseph went to get the body of Christ, Brother John, you could find him over there in the book of John, and we would go there. I'll turn there if we will. The Bible tells us that there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, and it was his tomb that was being borrowed, as Brother Tim alluded to. But the Bible also says that there came one with him, and his name was Nicodemus. Where are we at in here? Let's find that. I can't even find it now, but anyway, it's in there. Look it up. But they remembered his words. What were the words? He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Would that not be some good words to remember? Amen. What's the importance of remembering those words? Amen. You must be born again. I find that to be very important to remember. I find the fact that he said that if you do destroy this body, I'm going to raise it up again, or this temple, I'll raise it up again. But don't you find, Brother John, some of the other ones, whenever he said, if you love me, what did he say beyond that? If you love me, keep my words, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those are words of Christ. And if he's telling us to remember his words, it would do us very well, Brother Larry, to remember his words. It would be good to find a verse of scripture, as you have alluded to so many times. Find a life verse. If you don't have one, get one. And cling on to that. Hang on to that verse. I don't care if it's Philippians 4:13 or Galatians 2:20. Whatever it is, get yourself a life verse and remember his words. His words to the psalmist were forever settled in his heart. Why would you put them in there? It's from the heart is where the issues of life begin. And the psalmist said, amen, that thy word have I hid in my conscience, in my psyche. No, he said, I hid them in my heart. Amen. Why? Because that's where the issues of life proceed from, out of the heart. Right. It's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's coming out. It's in there. It's coming out. And we would do good, Brother John, to hide some of his words and to remember his words and hide them in our heart. Amen. Why? So that we don't sin against him.
Right.
I'm telling you what, it will be hard, very hard, Brother John, to sin against God knowing that it said, thou shalt not steal. It'd be very hard to steal something that wasn't yours if you remembered his words. It would be very hard to do anything against those blessed scriptures as they were recorded in the old book, knowing that he put an explanation point on them in the New Testament and said, if you love me, keep them. It'd be very hard to commit adultery knowing his words say, don't do that. It'd be very hard for me to kill you, to take your life, Brother John, right, knowing that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
But you see, we got all these things up there, but yet we take some of them and we don't some of them. I'm telling you what, some of the people in this church, that there's trouble, and they're troubling me. I've seen different manners of things take them away from God. Some of them are grief-stricken. Some of them follow trails of money. Some of them go here and some of them go there. Some follow pleasures. And they'll go where the pleasures are at, but they will not follow the scriptures. Last time I checked, he said, you don't have anything before me. Don't you put anything before me. Don't have any other gods before me. I'm the Lord. You don't have any before me. Put that one in the first place. It'd do us good to remember those, would it not? I believe that it would. The song that Tam and Steve and Robert and whoever, John, helped me sing a while ago, it says to roll back the curtain of memory now and then. To show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me.
remind me, dear Lord. Once in a while, it would do us very good, Brother Tim, to just get along with God and say, Lord, recall to my remembrance the things that you brought me from. I'm not saying to go back there and dwell in the past, but bless God, you ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from whatever that was. And whatever that was, Brother John, that was what consumed you. And it had you taking you toward hell. Amen. And it ought to be, you ought to thank God for delivering you from that.
Amen.
Not just what you brought me from, mm-hmm. but what you're doing now. I'm telling you, my friends, there's a heaven to gain. You've heard it said, there's a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. Verse number 2 said, nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. Troy Barons, did you deserve God's son? Did you do anything that was worthy of another man whenever you were going to be taken and grabbed and you were going to take and they were going to beat you and they were going to ultimately, you had a death sentence passed upon you. I'm talking about you're worthy of death. You are Barabbas. Put your name with the scriptures in place of Barabbas. He set you free and crucified Jesus in your stead. That's what he did. That's what he did. Barabbas was a murderer, a thug, part of the insurrection. He was a mean man. But Brother John, you could easily slip Steve or John or Mark or Tam or Jan in the name of Barabbas. Because what happened was whenever he come and got Barabbas, he said, get out of here, you're set free. You said, what happened? Well, as it were custom at the day before the days that Passover was here, Brother John, what are they going to do? They're going to release a prisoner.
Right.
Do you know what happened? Sam got set free. But you know what? Somebody's going to die. Jesus was crucified in Barabbas' place. He was.
Amen.
It would do us well to remember these scriptures. It would do good to remember his words, Brother John. That an innocent man died because you were guilty. You were a part of the insurrection. You were part of that was guilt, guilt, guilty. And I was. But the Bible said that the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, and if the Son of Man set you free, you're free indeed. Going back to our scriptures. What book of the Bible was I in, Luke? Luke chapter number 24. The Bible said, verse number 8, they remembered his words and they returned to the sepulchre and told all these things. A friend of mine has just come back from the Holy Lands. And many people have been over to the Holy Lands. And a lot of people, Brother Chris, they say it's an experience like none other. Anybody here have been over there? Any of our church ever been to Israel, to Jerusalem? You have? Oh, your brother Gwen? They tell me it's life-changing to be able to walk to those places where those patriarchs of God walked. I've always said this, Brother John, I don't have to go over there to see it all, but I do believe I'd be changed. I believe just to be on the soil and to be a part of the place where he walked down toward Philippi, or when he would go by the coast of Caesarea and look over it. And I can imagine, Brother John, in the biblical accounting of all this stuff, that many, many lives were changed. But I also, Brother John, believe they were just like we are today. They believed it just like the scripture said, that they just believed him as idle tales. You know, there's always something right around Easter that will try to define, or maybe a couple years ago they come out with another book of the gospel. Is called the Gospel According to Judas. Y'all remember that? Don't remember that? There was a new story. Larry remembers it. It was a gospel according to Judas. Listen, the Bible did not say to remember the words of Judas. The Bible said to remember the words of Jesus. We've got 66 books of the Bible here. There's no need for us to try to conjure up something else. I'm going to close this thing down here just very quickly. I'm going to go back to the song just a minute, because it said, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. I'm reminded so many times in the scripture that we thought was ours. The axe head that floated. You remember that? He said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. But the iron did swim whenever they cast in the stick. Right? Am I right or wrong?
Iron did swim.
The iron did swim. Brother John, your salvation. You said, yeah, it's mine. It's his. restoring to me the joy, Brother Tim, of what? Whose? Thy salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. You're in His good keep. Salvation belongs to Him. David, whenever he had sinned, he said, he didn't say, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Brother Chris has just borrowed. But bless God, whenever he give it to you. You know what he's going to do one day? Troy, he's going to redeem it. He's going to bring it back in. I told you about this Sunday. Buy a treasury bond, and you got to keep it for so many years before the thing full comes to full maturation. And next thing you know, you redeem it, Tam, at full value. You bought that thing at one amount, you cash it in. You redeem it at full value. That's what we're going to be one day. We're going to be redeemed at full value. We're going to get to go home one day, Brother Chris. Until he calls us home, we ought to remember his words. Miss Macy, come over to the piano, baby. Brother Scott's coming to get us a song.